Please turn to 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Paul and Silas as they were in the jail in Philippi, and at midnight they began to praise the Lord, and the Lord sent an earthquake. And we talked about the power of praise there, and I'd like to talk about that and give you another illustration of that in the Bible this morning. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I know it's quite a bit of reading, but would you just bear with me and follow along as I read verses 1 through 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazaron Tamar, which is Engdi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, whom thou didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all ye Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped for themselves, more they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I'd like to talk to you about the power of praise. The power of praise. Praise is a weapon of warfare. You see it very plainly here in this story. Praise wields the power of God, the power that the Lord gave them to defeat the enemies in their lives. And I know sometimes we think, well, you know, this is a great story. It's Old Testament. It happened a long time ago. It happened to the land of Israel. But does it have anything to do with me here today? Does this story have anything to say and anything to help me where I am in my life? Will it help me fight and be victorious in the battles that, you know, you and I face every day? And I believe the answer to that is yes. I believe that God works in big and small battles of our lives in the same way that he worked in the lives of the Israelites in the Old Testament. Paul tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable to us for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we could be also mature and complete and perfect standing before God. And so what I'd like to do is look at the story to help us identify some things that we need to understand about this weapon of praise so that we can make it effective in our own lives. And I'd also like today to give you some illustrations of some ordinary people who experience the power of praise in their lives. And we will see how these same elements were so important in Jehoshaphat's battle that they are crucial in our battles as well. So we'll begin with, first of all, I don't have a PowerPoint, it's a pretty easy outline this morning. The first thing is this, the decision to praise. We have to make the decision to praise. If you look at the first four verses of that chapter, you notice that Judah gathered themselves together. They were a little bit frightened because of the enemies that had gathered against them. But Jehoshaphat feared, it says in verse 3, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah, which by the way, the name Judah means praise. And praise, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And so the people gathered in Jerusalem, and the king cried out to the Lord. And in response to their cries, the Lord answers them by sending a prophet. And his words there found in verses 17 through 19, some very encouraging words. You don't need to fight this battle. Set yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. The same words that Moses spoke when the Israelites faced their enemies, Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea. Stand still, he said, you shall see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. As God told David, the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. The Lord will be with you. And when Jehoshaphat, the king, hears these words, he bows with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fall down before the Lord, and they worship him. In verse 19 says, the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. So what happened is, first of all, they heard this word. They heard that God would be with them, that they didn't need to fear, that God would take care of their enemies, that God would fight for them, and their response would be our response, I believe, as well. They fell upon their faces to worship God. And in the midst of that, a couple of groups of people got up to their feet, and they began to praise God and thank God for the victory. Even though they had not yet at this point realized it, they were standing on God's promise, and they were praising him for the victory that was ahead. Faced with an impossible situation, Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah didn't complain. They weren't angry. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They went to the Lord, and the Lord answered with a promise. They took the promise as fact, and they began to praise the Lord. This is what you and I need to do today as well. We have to stand upon the promises that we find in the Bible. There's that old chorus, every promise in the book is mine. We have to take these promises, we have to make them our promises, realizing that God has promised us some incredible things, like he would never leave us, he would not forsake us, that he would work all things together for our good, that God has a good plan for our lives. No weapon that's formed against us will prosper. And so when we're faced with difficult circumstances, we have to make a choice. We have to choose not to doubt and complain, and we have to choose to praise. Sherry and Kenny Hughes had been married for 19 years. They had 3 older children, but they were praying and trying for one more. And they had recently grieved through the loss of 2 children by miscarriage. So in July of 1993, Sherry was excited to finally check into the little country hospital for the birth of their 4th child. But when Tyler was born, Sherry and Kenny both knew that something wasn't quite right with this child. Something was wrong. And the next day they drove Tyler to 2 hours to a children's hospital for a surgical consult. And when the expert examined Tyler, he told the Hughes what they had expected but were afraid to say. And Debbie and I can relate to them because Tyler had Down syndrome. But many of their church family began to rally around them, and Tyler had some other issues and had to go to surgery for a digestive system problem that is common among children with Down syndrome. But the church gathered in the courtyard to pray. And when word came that Tyler would not have to have any further surgeries, that this surgery would take care of all of his digestive problems, a shout of praise went up from that group. And raising a child with Down syndrome contains some challenges that you don't expect when you have that child. But today, Debbie and I and the Hughes family are convinced that Tyler is a special gift to them, and they praise God for what he has brought them through. Now, you might be wondering how I heard about the Hughes family. I don't know them personally. They're not celebrities. They're ordinary people facing extraordinary challenges with the help of an extraordinary God. But here's the interesting thing about this family. If you do a search on the internet for the phrase, "I choose to praise," their family comes up. I choose to praise. The website Sherry maintains to minister to others raising kids with disabilities is one of the first that will come up. And Sherry Hughes understands the importance of making a decision to praise. She writes, "God has walked me through so many difficult times in my life. I choose to praise him and walk with him no matter what. His grace is very real. He was with me when I had 2 miscarriages. He was with me when my son was born with Down syndrome and when I had to give Tyler to the doctors for surgery at 1 day old. When I'm feeling down, turning my heart to praise God has been one of the most uplifting things I can do. When I am able to turn my thoughts from my problems to the high praises of the God I love, it seems I am able to get things into perspective." Wow, Sherry has got things in perspective. She'll help us get things in perspective if we do this, if we first of all make the decision to praise. God, I'm going to praise you no matter what. And that brings us to the next important thing that we need to do and we need to understand about praise is the direction of praise. The direction of praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." But notice this next phrase. But our eyes are where? Upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. We are looking to you, Lord. Our eyes are upon you, God. They said, you know, we have all these armies around us. We could look at them. We could focus on their number. We could become discouraged and fearful because there are so many of them. But God, we're not looking around. We're not looking at our circumstances. We're not looking at our enemy. God, we're looking up. We're looking up to you. And then to prove it, when they finally do go to battle, and they put their money where their mouth is, they send the worship leaders first into the battle. Now, when they had consulted with the people, verse 21, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Did you know that when you praise God, you are doing battle against the enemy? Praise itself, worship itself, is a powerful weapon that the Christian has at his disposal. And you know, those that lead us in worship are leading us into the battle. And we need to realize that when we gather here and worship God and praise him, that we are being led not only into the throne room of heaven where we can worship, but through our praise, we're being led victoriously through the battles of life. The leading element of their attack was their worship leaders. You would have to say that they were looking up. I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, what about those worship leaders? They can get picked off first things. They don't have any weapons. They've got instruments. It's a crazy way to go to battle. Doesn't make sense at all. And yet, that is precisely the way God chose to work. And it was the thing that he used to give the victory. When you're surrounded by what seems like hopeless circumstances, where are you looking today? I know it's easy to look at the circumstances. And I know it's easy to look at the problems. And when that umpteenth email comes, it says, honey, it looks like I'll be a little longer before I get home. Do you look around or do you look up? Or when the doctor says, I'm sorry, that the test results are not good. Do you look around or do you look up? When your boss is making unreasonable demands, when you run out of money before you run out of the end of the month, where do we look? Do we look around or do we look up? The lesson that God wants us to learn from this is the direction that we are to look is always up. The direction is to look at God. Most of us, you don't probably don't know, maybe recognize the name, but when I tell you about her, you'll recognize the name Darlene, and I'm not even sure how you pronounce her last name. It's Z-S-C-H-E-C-K. Zizek? But she is an internationally known worship leader. And what is it? It's Czech. Czech. Okay. I've never heard her name pronounced. I've only seen it in writing. Do you know what song she wrote? We sang it this morning. I didn't tell Josh to sing it, but we sang it. Shout to the Lord. Her life wasn't as altogether as we might think, and as it is now. As newlyweds, Mark and Darlene struggled financially. Darlene earned small change singing commercial jingles for Kentucky Fried Chicken, Diet Coke, and McDonald's. Mark struggled to keep their motorcycle parts business afloat to support Darlene and their two young children. It was then that Darlene decided to praise God through the struggle. She said, I learned we'll never find hope looking at our circumstances. It's only found by fixing our eyes on Jesus, who doesn't change and who's always faithful. Isn't that incredible? Her whole ministry started because she said, you know, I've got to get my eyes off my circumstances and I've got to get them on God, and I'm going to write songs of praise and shout his praises. Psalm 55:18 says, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. When circumstances are negative and they are surrounding you, if you want to experience the power of praise, you got to look up. You have to look up. It's the direction of praise that is so important. The next thing that we need to consider is the duration of praise. The duration of praise. Praise here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 takes place before the battle in verse 18. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. The praise also is taking place during the battle as the singers and the instruments, players of instruments, went before, verse 22, and as they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent these ambushments against all the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. And praise also took place after the battle in verse 26. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the Valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. And it was called, you know, the place, the Valley of Praise. Still called that to this day. They praised God before the battle. They praised God during the battle. And they praised God after the battle was done, after it was completed. Most of us don't have any trouble praising God after the battle, right? After the victory's been won. It's a little bit more difficult to praise Him before the battle, and it's more difficult to praise Him while we're in the midst of that battle. But as Darlene said, praise is thanking God for things even though they're not there yet. And she says it's appreciating Jesus not just for what He can do, but for being your Savior. And there's power in that. Just praising Him for who He is. Praise Him for being our Savior and our Redeemer. Sharon Baker was stewing in a traffic jam in the town of Dudley, England, a suburb of Birmingham. The traffic jam was just the icing on the cake. Sharon and her husband Trevor had come to Dudley to plant a new church because they knew that that was what God was calling them to do. They left a thriving church experiencing God's presence in revival power. And the new work in Dudley was struggling not only for members, but even for an appropriate place to meet. And Sharon recalls sitting in the car complaining that God hadn't shown us the goods. That's her words. God, you haven't shown us the goods. And then God broke through to her heart, filling her with a passion, a desire to worship. All of a sudden, she just had a desire to worship God. The situation didn't change overnight, but the Dudley Church began praying more earnestly for a specific building. The old county law court, the law court's buildings captured their attention. It was a perfect place for a worship and ministry training center, but the bureaucracy was blocking the path. But their prayers began to mingle with worship, and they declared war. Every week, they circled the local government offices in prayer and worship. In February 2003, the committee was meeting for the final decision. Now, although the meeting was twice delayed, the timing of this was no coincidence. Instead of just 20 of us in prayer, she wrote, there would now be 500 because the church was hosting a conference. You know, here's the thing. It looks like the enemy's winning. Their meetings are being canceled. God, it's not time yet. I'm waiting for more worshipers, more people to join this praise army. 500 people gathered. And as the conference opened, Bibles open, they walked around the conference hall reading and praying God's words back to Him. The worship began to build with songs declaring the lordship of Jesus and calling out for the power of God to fall. At times, the musicians kept drumming and clapping, some sounding more like tribal warfare than a church service. And after an hour and a half, the news came from the committee meeting. The building was theirs. And at that moment, a deafening shout of praise and rejoicing rose as worship again broke out. I believe that the Dudley Church experienced the power of praise because they didn't wait until the battle was decided. They didn't wait until the committee came out and said, the building is yours. They had gone to worship before the battle started. While the battle was taking place, they continued to worship and to praise God. And they yielded the strongest weapon that they had, and they praised God the duration of the battle, before, during, and after they experienced the victory. And the fourth thing that we want to consider this morning is the deliverance of praise. The deliverance of praise. Look at verses 27 through 30 there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. This is the power of praise. It's not our own power, but it is the power of God that delivers us, that works on our behalf. I believe that when we say, praise the Lord, we are unleashing His power in our lives. So many times I hear, well, just praise the Lord. It's a flippant statement. But I want you to think about that. When you are praising Him, when you are praising His name, you are releasing His authority and His power. The Bible says that He dwells in the praises of His people. The Bible tells us that we enter into His gates and into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. We enter into the presence of God through praise. It only follows then that we experience the power of His resurrection through praise. Prayer changes things. Sometimes prayer changes circumstances, like that church in Dudley. Other times, prayer changes people, like the Hughes family. But prayer changes things. If you're feeling surrounded this morning, I encourage you to make the decision to praise. That's where it starts. You look around and you say, God, there are circumstances here that are huge, that are too big for me. God, there are enemies in my life that I don't have the power to match. What you need to do is, first of all, make the decision to praise. God, I will praise You anyway. This is my decision. I will not worry. I will not grumble. I will not complain. I will praise. And I think much of the battle is won at this point, when we simply make that decision. When we come to the place where we make the decision and our will says, I will do it. And then the second thing is, make sure your focus is in the right place. Don't praise God and keep looking at the situation, because it's going to tear down your faith. Instead, look up. Don't look around, but look up. And maybe you literally want to do that. Maybe you literally want to stand with your eyes looking up to heaven, looking up to God. Let Him be your focus. And then the third thing is, don't wait for the battle to even begin, or don't wait for it to be over. Begin right now where you are at in your life. From this day forward, God, I will praise You. And praise Him then for who He is and for what He's promised you. And you will experience His deliverance. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed, please. It's really quite simple today. It's really quite simple. If you have an enemy, that enemy might not be a person, it might be a circumstance, it might be a situation. I don't know what it is. Could be lots of things this morning. But if you have an enemy and you're surrounded or you're feeling overwhelmed, it doesn't look very promising. Would you right now make the decision? Tell the Lord, Lord, I am deciding right now that I will praise you. I've made up my mind to praise you. And then would you look to the Lord? Say, Lord, help me to forget to look at this situation. I'll keep my eyes up on you. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. And then don't wait another moment, but just begin to praise the Lord. Even now, just praise Him. Thank Him. And praise Him for who He is. Thank Him for His promises. He'll never leave you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Those are good plans. How many here today say, Pastor, I'm doing that today. I'm going into battle, but I'm going with my hands lifted in praise. Can I see your hand? I'd like to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Lord, today we believe that battles are going to be won. Because, Lord, we are using this powerful weapon of praise according to your word. Lord, today I pray for victories just like you gave Jehoshaphat and Israel. Back in their day, you are still the same God. You work the same way. You don't change. And Lord, we even now praise you for who you are, our Redeemer, our Conqueror, our Savior. And we thank you for the promises, the precious promises, you who have begun a good work in us will complete it, will perform it. You'll bring it to maturity. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the battle that is yours and the victory that's ours. We can take of the spoils of victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. It's a few minutes before 12. I think it would be great if we could just praise God here today for a couple of moments, a couple more songs. If we're going to do some of the same songs you did, that's fine. But let's just, they all had to do with praise this morning. So let's just praise God. Maybe you need to just shut yourself in today, and as you praise, if you feel free to lift your hands, look, turn with your eyes, look to the ceiling, look to the heavens, and let God have His way.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the
Lost, oh.
fall.